The next item on the agenda is item number 061551, Robert B. Hart et al. Mr. McGinnis.
Sir.
Take care, Chris. Yep.
It's a fairly large file here. Hold on a second. There we go. Commissioner, before we begin, I need to read into the record a letter from Tim Hayes, who is Mr. Hart's attorney. This was asked to be read into the record, so we'll begin with that. Dear Mr. Bowman, this letter is submitted on behalf of Mr. Robert B. Hart with regard to the Commission's scheduled review of the Prince William County Wetland Board's November 14, 2006 decision to approve certain wetland encroachments situated along Quantico and Swans Creek in Prince William County. The matter is scheduled to be heard by the Commission in its regular meeting on January 23rd. The Wetland Board decision that is the subject of the Commission review was made on November 14, 2006. Commission review of the Wetland Board decision is governed by Virginia Code 28.2.13.11. That section requires that when requesting Commission review of a Wetland Board decision, the Commissioner is to notify the Wetland Board, the applicant, and the local jurisdiction where the wetlands are located within 10 days of receiving notice of the Board's decision, and that the Commission shall hear and decide the review within 45 days of receiving the request. In this case, the request for review was filed on November 27, 2006, which was 13 days after the Board decision. According to Virginia Code 28.2.13.11, the deadline for notice was November 24th. That was the day after Thanksgiving, and the governor had ordered state offices to be closed. The day after Thanksgiving, however, is not a recognized legal holiday in Virginia. While Code Section 1.13.3.1 clearly allows the extension of filing deadlines to the next business day following a legal holiday, it is not clear whether it applies when state offices have been closed by a gubernatorial proclamation on a day that is not a legal holiday. Accordingly, Mr. Hart wishes to preserve an objection on the record to the filing of the notice as untimely. Furthermore, the Commission will consider the request for review 57 days after the date of the request, when the statute explicitly states that such review is to be completed within 45 days. Mr. Hart objects to this proceeding as failing to comply with the requirements of Virginia Code 28.2.13.11b. Please file these objections with the other documents in this matter and bring them to the Commission's attention on January 23rd and include them in the Commission record. Thank you for your assistance. Sincerely, Timothy G. Hayes.
Okay. Before we proceed, for the record, the objections noted by counsel on behalf of Mr. Hart are noted by the Commission. What I'd like to do is ask the Commission if they believe at the present time that we should proceed under our jurisdiction to hear this matter. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we proceed with hearing this matter.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins. Our second?
Second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Again, for the record, Mr. Hayes' objections on behalf of his client are taken into consideration and made part of the record. Proceed, Mr. McGinnis.
Kathy, if I could have the lights, please. This case is Robert B. Hart et al., MRC number 06-1551. Commission review of the Prince William County Wetland Board, November 14, 2006 decision to approve the installation of 355 linear feet of vinyl bulkhead and to grant after-the-fact authorization for the installation of 90 linear feet of gabion basket retaining wall and the placement of fill over approximately 3,550 square feet tidal wetlands adjacent to two properties situated along Quantico and Swans Creeks in Prince William County. Gentlemen, the project is located here at the juncture of Quantico and Swans Creek in Prince William County. and involves the unauthorized activities undertaken at the adjoining properties of Mr. Robert Hart and Mr. Daniel Reverman. You see in this photo here the location again. Quantico Marine Corps Base is located on the opposite side of Quantico Creek in this general vicinity here. This is a 2002 Virginia-based mapping program aerial photograph. You can see here I've highlighted the locations of Mr. Hart and Mr. Reverman's properties. In 2002, or at least when this photo was taken, Mr. Reverman's home is not shown here. He had not constructed that yet, but it lies roughly in the location here on the southeast side of Mr. Hart's property. On March 27, 2006, Prince William County Wetland Board staff observed that the unauthorized filling of tidal wetlands had occurred at the properties of Mr. Hart and Mr. Reverman. This is a photograph of that day. This is a photo that was in the board's record. The unauthorized filling included the placement and backfilling of approximately 355 linear feet of temporary hay bale silt fence bulkhead over tidal wetlands and state-owned subaqueous land along Quantico and Swans Creeks, as well as the installation of 90 linear feet of a stone-filled gabion basket retaining wall along Swans Creek. In this photo, this is the gabion basket retaining wall here. This is Swans Creek, Quantico Creek out here, and it'll be detailed in further photographs, but along this margin here is a stacked hay bale and silt fence bulkhead that was backfilled, and you can see here the equipment out on the site moving around the earth, filling in that area. Just another photograph here from the county's record of dump trucks here on site, and another photo here from the county record that does show other equipment out here. This photo does show also, you can see the shoreline in the distance here and how this actually curves out and around back in. After discussing the violation at their meeting on April 12, 2006, the Prince William County Wetland Board sent separate letters to Mr. Hart and Mr. Reverman directing them to restore the site to its original condition within 30 days. In the alternative, they were also given the opportunity to submit an after-the-fact application for the unauthorized work, as well as any additional work required to complete the project. I'm going to go through a sequence of ground views. All of these photos were in the board's record. This photo here does show that the hay bales and silt fence and how they were used and backfilled. Another photo here. I believe in the board's record this photo is labeled as being taken at a high tide event. You can actually see here in this portion of the photo that the water is above the hay bales. We don't know if this represents a mean high tide event, but it was taken at a high tide event that day. Just another photo. This is along Swans Creek here, Quantico out in the background. Again, just more photos. And this is looking up Swans Creek along the margin of Mr. Hart's property. And these are the gabion baskets that he placed there to stabilize the bank. Again, just another photo of those baskets. Section here will begin the project drawings that were submitted. The Wetland Board accepted receipt of the jointly submitted after-the-fact application on June 21st, 2006, which requested authorization for the unauthorized fill and retaining wall, as well as a request to install 355 linear feet of vinyl bulkhead to replace the temporary hay bale silt fence bulkhead. This particular drawing here is a 2003 survey plat that was done, I believe, at the time that Mr. Hart was purchasing the property. You can note here in the corner of the drawing it is labeled as a house location survey, and there is a mention of this dashed line as an approximate mean low water shoreline. On July 26, 2006, board staff sent a letter requesting additional information that was required before they could consider the application complete. After having received the additional information, the Wetland Board scheduled a public hearing for the November 14th, 2006 to consider the after-the-fact request. This is a survey that Mr. Hart had done. It's dated May 5th, 2006 here in the corner. This survey does show the new shoreline, and it's labeled as a shoreline here. And it does show where the gabion basket retaining wall was placed in over on this side. This drawing was also updated to show a portion of Mr. Reverman's property here. Another drawing, this was a drawing that was submitted as part of the application package, and during the hearing, Mr. Hart did pass around copies of this drawing and had highlighted the area shown here in green, which is the difference between what is shown in the 2003 survey and his May 5th, 2006 survey. Based upon the difference in those surveys, the applicants had claimed that there was an impact to wetlands of 2,235 square feet associated with the fill, and that there was an additional 415 square feet associated with the gabion wall. Again, this is just another drawing based upon that same May 5th, 2006 survey. In this particular one, they just kind of outlined a little bit more where the actual hay bales and so forth are located, and it does provide the entire boundary of Mr. Reverman's property in this particular drawing here. Just a cross-section of the proposed vinyl bulkhead. You can see here in dashed lines that represents the area where the hay bales currently sit. This is the channelward side, and they had proposed to come in and place the vinyl bulkhead behind the hay bales, and then have the hay bales removed. And just a cross-section here of the gabion wall that they had placed in, the bank that goes up above that. Commission review of this case is being undertaken in accordance with the provisions of Section 28.2.13.10 and 28.2.13.11.A2 of the Code of Virginia. The Prince William County Wetland Board held a public hearing on the after-the-fact application on November 14, 2006. Both Mr. Hart and Mr. Reverman were in attendance at the meeting and were also represented by their agents, Mr. Joe Ivers and Mr. Ira Poplar Jeffers of Virginia Waters and Wetlands Incorporated. The board listened to a staff report, which included a history of the project, the results of a geographical information system or GIS impact analysis conducted by county staff, and a brief summary of the environmental impact assessment and recommendations provided in the Virginia Institute of Marine Science report. The VIM Shoreline Permit Application Report, dated November 13, 2006, stated that the unauthorized gabion basket wall resulted in the loss of 270 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands, and that the unauthorized fill resulted in the loss of 3,550 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands and 6,401 square feet of subaqueous bottom. The report also indicated that the unauthorized gabion basket retaining wall had impacted an additional 540 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands, but that its environmental impact would be considered relatively minor. VIMS, in an email dated November 14, 2006, which is the day of the hearing, later revised down their subaqueous bottom impact figures for the unauthorized fill to 4,798 square feet. The reported impacts of tidal wetlands, however, remained unchanged. And this just to show you the difference there. It's a total impact of 8,348 square feet, which of which the 3,550 square feet related to the fill portion only is attributed to wetlands. The VIMS report concluded with a recommendation that the unauthorized fill be removed and that the site be restored to its previous conditions. The environmental impact assessment provided in the VIMS report essentially corroborated the GIS analysis conducted by Prince William County staff, which calculated the total impact of the unauthorized fill to both tidal wetlands and subaqueous bottom to be 8,348 square feet. Just to quickly kind of summarize what you're looking at here, the county has photographs every 2 years that they looked at between 1998 and 2006. And based upon that, you can see a red line in many of these, and we'll get into that a little bit more in some of the following slides. But the red line, as it was explained during the hearing by county staff, represents the shoreline throughout these photos. Obviously, there's some error from year to year, but they feel that it approximated the shoreline in these photos and that it closest resembled the 2000 shoreline. And the blue hatched area represents the area that was filled. And we're going to pay attention here to the 2006 image. This is a photograph from 2006. Again, the blue hatched is the area that was filled. They'll here along Mr. Hart's property, and then a much smaller portion here along Mr. Reverman's property. County staff had also taken the 2006 survey plat that Mr. Hart, or that the applicants had provided, and had overlaid those with the photographs that they have available to them. And here again, the 2006 aerial photograph, and you can see in white is the plat, and you can see here the outline of the fill area, and then where the county had believed the shoreline had been prior to the fill. This 1964 plat of Mr. Hart's property details the shoreline in relation to the surveyed property boundaries, as described in the corresponding deed dated November 5, 1964, which is item 3D29 in your books. This shoreline represents the channelward boundary of Mr. Hart's property. And again, the shoreline here is represented by this dashed line. In the deed, if you were to read it, it explains that from the surveyed property boundary that the property extends in these directions, in this case 20 feet from this point, 20 feet, 30 feet from this one, and 19 from this one. So it's pretty clear from the 1964 deed where Mr. Hart's property boundary along the shoreline lied. However, if you were to superimpose this 1964 plat over Mr. Hart's 2006 plat and the results of the county's GIS analysis, you can see that the area filled by the applicant extends significantly channelward of the 1964 shoreline, shown here in blue. In addition, it appears that the 1964 shoreline corresponds with the pre-fill shoreline shown in red, identified by the county's GIS analysis, with obvious allowances for shoreline fluctuation between 1964 and the unauthorized fill event. According to this overlay, it appears that the applicants, in particular, Mr. Hart, have no claim to the lands in which they have filled. Staff would like to point out that this comparison is relative and that we are not making an attempt to determine the amount of impact using this 1964 plat. So again, based upon the overlay here, the blue line represents where the shoreline was in 1964 according to the plat and the deed, but you can see that they have filled out much further now. Now, you might be able to notice that the 1964 overlay does not line up perfectly. The copy that we have has a fax header across the top, and staff is sure that it has been copied and faxed several times since 1964, which does cause some distortion, so we were not able to get a perfect match, but again, it is relative, and that the distance between this point down here and shown in yellow and the point on the white line of the 2006 survey is roughly only 5 feet, so it's just a relative change here. During the public hearing, Mr. Hart testified that he was aware of the need for a permit for the planned installation of the bulkhead, but did not believe he needed a permit for the placement and backfilling of the temporary hay bale silt fence bulkhead and the installation of the gabion basket retaining wall. Mr. Hart testified that they estimated the total impact to be 2,235 square feet, which included impacts from the unauthorized fill of Gibeon basket, and the Gibeon basket retaining wall actually was another 415 square feet. According to their application, the 2,235 square feet of impact was calculated from the difference of an approximate mean low water shoreline depicted in a 2003 survey and the current alignment of the hay bale, silt fence bulkhead, and fill as shown in the 2006 survey. Mr. Hart's testimony also indicated that there were no impacts to state-owned subaqueous bottoms since they believe that their project was located landward of mean low water. The applicants and their agent also questioned the accuracy and validity of the impact figures in the VIMS report and the results of the county's GIS analysis. During the nearly four-hour-long hearing, the Wetland Board spent a significant amount of time discussing and trying to determine the amount of impact to tidal wetlands they would need to use to calculate the assessment of in-lieu mitigation fees. The board's chairman, Mr. Anthony Thrall, indicated that he would abstain from voting because he lived nearby, but he argued that the impact was far less than what was reported by VIMS in the GIS analysis based upon his familiarity with the area as a neighboring property owner. The applicants, their agent, and several members of the board attempting to discredit the impact assessments provided by the VIMS, and the county based upon what they perceived to be assumptions and estimations. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the board moved to approve the installation of 355 linear feet of vinyl bulkhead and to grant after-the-fact authorization for the installation of 90 linear feet of gabion basket retaining wall and the placement of the entire amount of fill over tidal wetlands. The motion passed with six members for and one abstaining. The board's decision was contingent upon several conditions, most notably that the applicants agree to pay a civil charge in the amount of $1,200 in lieu of further enforcement action, as well as an after-the-fact application fee in the amount of $500 and an in-lieu mitigation fee of $20,115 to mitigate the loss of 2,235 square feet of non-vegetated tidal wetlands at a rate of $9 per square foot. Kathy, if I could have the lights, I'll move into our recommendation. In the opinion of staff, the Prince William County Wetland Board in this case failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance by authorizing the after-the-fact despoilation and destruction of tidal wetlands within their jurisdiction. The board failed to discuss the necessity for the unauthorized fill and whether they would have authorized this permanent loss of tidal wetlands had the applicants requested a permit prior to the start of the project. Furthermore, the board failed to explore the option of requiring restoration of the lost wetland resource and chose to disregard the impact assessment provided in the VIMS report when calculating the in-lieu mitigation fees, instead choosing to base the assessment of those fees on the 2,235 square feet of wetland impacts identified by the applicants, rather than the 3,550 square feet cited by VIMS, without sufficient evidence or justification for the applicant's figure. It is important to note that under the Commission's Wetlands Mitigation and Compensation Policy, the Wetlands Board is required to first determine the necessity of a project and then avoid and reduce all unnecessary impacts to tidal wetlands before considering any type of compensation or mitigation for the loss of tidal wetlands resulting from a project. Staff was present at the board's hearing, and in our opinion, it appeared that the board focused their efforts on calculating the monetary assessment of in-lieu mitigation fee and civil charge rather than on the necessity of the unauthorized fill, its resultant impacts on tidal wetlands, and the option to require restoration of the lost wetland resource. In light of the foregoing and in accordance with Section 28.2.13.13.1 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission reverse the decision of the Prince William County Wetland Board to grant after-the-fact authorization for the unauthorized fill and the installation of a vinyl bulkhead to replace an unauthorized hay bale silt fence bulkhead. We recommend that the applicants be required to remove the temporary bulkhead and fill material and restore the site to previous elevations and conditions within 60 days. Staff would, however, recommend that the Commission uphold the Board's decision to grant after-the-fact authorization for the installation of the gabion basket retaining wall situated along Swans Creek with the Board's previous conditions and civil charge assessment. Staff makes this recommendation based upon the comments provided in the VIMS report, which stated that the gabion basket wall appeared to address the erosion problems on the adjacent bank and has a relatively minor environmental impact. While it is a common practice for staff to recommend to the Commission that Wetland Board case reviews be remanded back to the Wetlands Board with direction for further review, staff believes that a reversal of the Board's decision with regard to the unauthorized fill is warranted based upon the degree to which the Board failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance. If, however, the Commission was not inclined to accept staff's recommendations and would prefer to remand the case back to the Prince William County Wetland Board, staff would then recommend that the Commission direct the Board to consider the necessity of the fill over tidal wetlands, all restorative and mitigative options required under the Commission's Wetland Mitigation and Compensation Policy, and fully consider the evidence and recommendations of the VIMS report and the county GIS analysis. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I know it was a long staff report that's a fairly thick record that the Board had sent to us. I believe that the Board is represented by their vice chairman and their staff. I believe that Mr. Hart and his agent are here, as well as the chairman of the Board, who I believe will be speaking as a citizen here today.
Any questions for Mr. McGinnis? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one. Could you please reiterate the final points in your recommendation, if it were remanded? I think you said to fully consider the recommendations of the VIMS report, and you had a couple of other items. What were they?
The staff would recommend that the Commission direct the Board to consider the necessity of the fill over tidal wetlands, all restorative and mitigative options required under the Commission's Wetlands Mitigation and Compensation Policy, and fully consider the evidence and recommendations of the VIMS report and the county GIS analysis. Those are additions to what was in your book items.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple. Apparently, during the course of the deliberations, the accuracy of the diagrams that represent the property as it was in the past versus what it is now came into question. Is that correct? Did I understand?
That's correct. There was discussion as to the accuracy
of VIMS's calculations,
correct,
based on the GIS overlays and computations?
Correct.
Question for VIMS. Do you know who made those calculations?
The computations were conducted by the county or the locality. We confirmed those with our GIS people.
Okay.
We felt comfortable with those estimates.
You also confirmed the calculations.
Well, based upon doing a joint site visit with the VIMS representative, and I was going to add to what VIMS had just stated, but based upon that site visit, I was under the impression that VIMS was likely to have recommended, and the recommendations were to have listed that the impacts were slightly greater than what actually the county GIS analysis came up with. I think that VIMS was willing to agree with what the county came up with, but that if they had provided numbers alone, that their impact numbers instead of the 3,550 square feet of wetland impact could have been closer to 4,000 possibly.
What gives you the expertise as a staff member to make that conclusion?
It's based upon the comments from the VIMS person during that site visit, from what she had estimated based upon her expertise, that she ended up agreeing with a placement of the shoreline prior to the fill, probably further channelward than probably where she would have estimated it at.
Do you have any expertise in making those type of calculations?
I have a a master's degree in coastal geology and have expertise in doing GIS analysis. In my opinion, based upon that type of work, I would agree with the work the county did. There's obviously some error in that, but you know, I can't give you a what that would be, and I wasn't with them when they did that work.
It's very important.
But I think from a relative standpoint, it is very close, and I think that if there is error in their placement of the shoreline, that the square footage would only change a very small percentage of what the total number that they provided. I believe it was 8,000 some odd square feet.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, follow-up? Is the applicant here or represented? Yes, sir.
Come. Robert Hart and Dr. Iver from Virginia Water Lab. I am the fellow that prepared.
You can come forward if you'd like.
Sure.
No, sir, you can come up forward as well. I'm going to swear you both at the same time. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Start you first, or your agent? First, for the record, state your name, please, and who you represent.
I'm Joe Ivers, and I represent Mr. Hart.
Okay.
I'm the agent.
Hart,
my firm is the agent. I'd like to, you have before you the big package.
Sure.
I can, if we could, on page 1-3 here on the Habitat Management Division evaluation to what Mr. McGinnis just spoke to, this summary portion. If I could, I'd like to comment on this first paragraph here. In the opinion of staff, the Prince William County Wetlands Board, in this case, failed to fulfill their responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance by authorizing the after-the-fact despoliation, I'm not sure what that, and destruction of tidal wetlands within their jurisdiction. The board failed to discuss the necessity for the unauthorized fill and whether they would have authorized this permanent loss of tidal wetlands had the applicants requested a permit prior to the start of the project. To that, the necessity for the unauthorized fill and whether they would have been granted this permit, this was addressed in the joint permit application, and it was also heavily discussed, page 3, section 3A7 and 3.9 talk about how this was an emergency situation. Mr. Hart's property was eroding away. There's a couple of culvert pipes coming out of Swan's Creek, and there's some upstream construction going on there that have caused this to be, that was a degrading area there, and he's seeing some accretion on the other side. Short of going through this and reading verbatim, I just wanted to point out that this is in the record, that for avoidance, minimization, and then mitigation, the general process you consider this. I was at the hearing, and like Mr. McGinnis stated, it went for 4 hours, and there was a lot of discussion on, you know, this is an emergency situation, and Mr. Hart will have some pictures to show to that, but I just want to go pretty quick. You guys have just been subjected to this whole package here. Secondly, in this same paragraph of this summary, it says here, furthermore, the board failed to explore the option of requiring restoration. We disagree with this statement here. In fact, the record will show that VMRC staff, in fact, recommended against any restoration. If you'll turn to page 3A60 in your packet there, it starts there on the bottom. Is what they're talking about here is mitigation. If you flip over to 61, it says, speaker, take the fill out. Then there is no place on the property they can create wetlands, and they would have to create, if they were to take this wetland away, they'd have to create it in their own property somewhere else or to mitigate it. Dr. Donahue then commented, or pull back the wall further to establish wetlands. Then you'll see here, Mr. McGinnis, you know, they say here, pull the fill out, and right below that, Mr. McGinnis comments, which will be very detrimental to the creek. And this was taken under consideration then as to restoration problems.
Mr. McGinnis.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that I've read the record, and there are several errors in that. That is one of the ones that I had noted myself, that Mr. Reberman was actually the one who made that comment, not myself. I certainly would not have made that, but I do remember.
I got to disagree with that. I was at the meeting, and I think you did make that comment, and it shows that in the record. And this is the verbatim transcript, is it not?
I don't know if it's a verbatim. I'm here from someone under oath here shortly to determine if it's the verbatim transcript. Because what we'll do, if the issues contained in this record are that much of substantive difference, I think what we're going to do is we're going to pull the recording, we'll match it up with the actual transcript, because I am not going to have this commission making a decision based on something that's so diametrically opposite and so fundamental in nature as far as what's necessary for this committee to, or commission to make a decision. And if we're already, right now, 2 minutes into your presentation where there is some concern about the accuracy of this record, to that extent, I believe we need to do some further research to determine whether or not this is actually the record. I'm not making any statement one way or the other or prejudging whether it is or is not, but I am stating that in order for this commission to make a decision, and an informed decision, it's going to have to be. And what I'll do, basically, is I'll have staff sit down and go through the record and listen to the recording to ensure. And you can do that, too. As a matter of fact, if we're at this point already, I'm inclined to continue this matter right now until we can work this out, because it's not fair to the citizens of the Commonwealth nor this commission to make a decision based on already us having a concern like that. And I'll put that before the commission for a motion.
I would motion to table it.
Motion made by Mr. Hyland. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Bowden. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This is what we're going to do. What I'd like for you to do is get with the Wetlands Board staff. If you want to be involved, then that's fine. Mr. McGinnis, Mr. Watkinson, you can direct them to do so. I want to ensure that this record is accurate before it comes back before the commission. I mean, I just don't feel that we can logically and fairly to all involved, including you, sir, go forward if there's some question and dispute that fast.
Can I make a statement?
Absolutely.
Okay, I guess you tabled it, but my concern is, number one, this was an emergency situation. I did a lot of things because of the dynamics of the stream down here. That property was washing in. The trees were getting ready to fall in, and basically it was dug back underneath when we put it back. But number two, if I were on the Wetlands Board, I would be deplored by seeing that transcript, because I was at the meeting. He was at the meeting. I've read the transcript. I didn't get the transcript till Saturday, okay? I sent Mr. Dombrowski an email, said, look, I'm trying to go to a meeting. I've hired an attorney, Tim Hayes. I said, he would like a copy of the transcript. Where's the transcript? All my exhibits that I gave on November 14th, I have nothing. So the only thing I have with me today in order to prepare for this meeting are any duplicates that I had in my file, because the whole file has been kept away from me, and I have never seen the transcript.
All right, Mr. Hart, I understand that. However, it's not the policy nor the authority of this commission to manage other than what's under the statutory requirements.
Is where I think we're at. But what my comment was that the transcript, even having been in the meeting, it's difficult for me to follow that transcript. Now, whoever, for instance, the word riprap, I don't think there's anybody on this panel that doesn't know what riprap is. If you look at the beginning of the thing, it calls riprap. That's me they're referring to. I don't know.
No, sir.
What I'm trying to say is, a gabion wall as opposed to a gable, there's a lot of terminology in this transcript that somebody who... I sympathize with whoever...
I understand your issue.
They have no idea what a riprap wall is or
okay,
a gabion wall
okay.
is.
Okay, for the record, your point... Record. Thank you. For the record, your point's well made. What we'll do is we'll review what we've got, and we can table it until next month.
Yes.
Okay, is that part of that acceptable?
Part of my motion.
All right, that's the ruling of the commission. Thank you very much.